once we got our bearings a little bit, we went down to Oaxaca and spent a few weeks there. But then we had like a near-death experience there.
Oh my God. You're just throwing that in like it's...
Yeah.
I'm like sitting here like staring off thinking like, oh my gosh, that was such a dark couple weeks of our lives. Like it was so beautiful, but also I was so stressed.
Yeah, we haven't been to therapy in a while. And so we're just going to unpack everything right here. It's really what's going to happen.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. All right, friends. I am joined today by my friends, Chris and Sarah, who are actually sort of recent friends of mine. We met in the last year or so, and it's been so fun to get to know you guys already. We just jumped on this call and we're like, let's just hit record already because there's so many fun things that we have to talk about. And I feel like this invitation has been a long time coming because since the first time that we spoke, which was about a year ago, just over a year ago now, you guys had invited me on your podcast. For you guys listening out there, they are the hosts of the travel podcast, What No One Tells You. And they are YouTubers, well, travel vloggers. You guys create and share videos from the road. And they have most recently been taking their really, really rad old truck camper down the Pan American Highway from the US to Panama, which you guys just got back from Panama like a couple days ago. And so I feel like there's so much that we have to talk about. So welcome to my show. It's so exciting to have you guys here.
We're so grateful to Oboz Footwear and Osprey Packs for partnering with us and supporting the podcast. So please stay tuned for more about them later on.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here. It's like hanging out with an old friend, even though we don't only know each other like what, a year?
Yeah, but we're so past that. We're past here. The pleasantries. Like, we're excited about this.
That's right. Yeah, we are. I half expected you guys to be in your camper right now because I was talking to like yesterday and I thought you were in Panama, but you're back in the US right now.
Yeah.
And you're
late, like 2 days ago. We just got back.
Yeah, just got back.
Cool. I have so many questions for you guys. And I have like since the beginning, like I know that the first time we chatted, you were asking me about my truck camping experience and that was really cool. I'm like, okay, yeah, but we need to not be finished here because you have a story yourselves. And it's so cool how you guys have kind of patchworked this existence of like, you live in the States, like this is actually your home base. And yet you take these trips, like with your camper, and then you come back to do things like I just saw you in Vegas. We were both speaking, you know, like, wait, how do you even do this? It's like, you're doing all of it. It's like, somehow you're doing all of it.
We don't sleep.
We're figuring it out as we go. Last week was probably the most stressful week we've had in a very long time. Yeah. Just, it was our first time ever having to ship the truck, but we survived it. We learned so much and oh man, like I don't think I would trade what we're doing for anything, but there are definitely days where I'm just like, what the heck are we doing? No. This is crazy. Why can't we just pull back and do something different?
I feel like sometimes we have a hard time saying no to ourselves because you're like, oh, that'd be a cool idea. Let's do it. And then we've already committed and we're like, yeah, we've told some people. We probably need to follow through with this too. You know, we can't be flaky. So.
We're famous for changing plans.
You know what though? Like you said there, I mean, you're figuring it out as you go, but this is life, right? There's no blueprint. And this is like the beauty of what we as I guess travelers and content creators, can do. It's just limitless and it's up to us. And so, so I love that we're going to get another perspective because this is the way that you guys are doing it is just yet another unique idea of how to pursue the things you want to pursue, do the things you're good at, find the joy in life, you know, and you guys bring your dog with you too. So there's plenty of stories we have here, but first I would love to just let you guys start with who you are, like where your home base is and kind of, you know, like what has gotten you to this point now.
I never know where to begin with this.
No, I feel like she was like unraveling an onion. There's all these different layers. Oh yeah, they bring their dog too.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it all out there.
Yeah. So
we're Chris and Sarah, and we have been traveling We started traveling in a camper van full time back at the end of 2018. And then we started a YouTube channel in 2019 and everything sort of snowballed from there. But prior to that, we were living in Seattle. We were already working remotely and for ourselves as entrepreneurs. So travel was one of the things we always wanted to do, but figuring out how to do it with the budget that we had. You know, we had saved money. We eloped instead of having a big wedding. And we've been like sitting on this little pile of money trying to figure out like, what are we going to do with this? And we decided one day, like, let's buy and convert a van. It was pretty early on in van life trend.
Sarah actually saw somebody on Instagram and she was like, you will never do this with me.
Oh, it was not threatening.
It was not threatening, but it was just like, it was a camper van. It was people living van life. And she looked at me and she was like, you will never do this with me. And here we are 6 years later. And I'm like still proving that point.
I did not twist your arm into this. It was more of a like, I can't see you doing this. You wouldn't really do this with me, would you? But he always makes it sound like I was like, oh, I don't know, saying you do this or else.
Yeah.
But that's where it started. It was like really early in van life. Like, yeah, people have been doing the van life thing since like the 70s or whatever, probably earlier than that. But it was pretty early on. There were not many, like I think the hashtag on Instagram probably had like maybe 100,000 for hashtag van life back then. Like there was not that many out there. So we were definitely like the crazy ones to our family and friends. We were married for about a year and a half and we decided we wanted to buy a van. And then from the time we discovered van life to the time we signed like bought our first van. It was like, what, 6 weeks? Like
6 weeks.
It was just like we knew instantly. Yeah.
People thought we fell on hard times. They're like, so you're moving into a van? Like, you're like, yeah. And so we said, all right, we're going to be in the van for at least a year. That will pay essentially what we were paying in rent. We'll pay for the van.
Conversion. That's how much the conversion was like essentially a year's worth of rent.
Yeah.
So
even
though it's a depreciating asset. Anyway, this van's a depreciating asset. I'm like drawing way down the rabbit hole of van life, but we knew that we were going to put a little value into this van. So we took that risk and ended up loving traveling. And I think we knew we were going to, but I don't think we realized exactly how much we were going to love slow travel. Yeah. I think when I was young, I always kind of envisioned myself like jetting off from place to place. And that just wasn't realistic for our budget back then. And in the process, we also learned that we really liked the slower pace of traveling. We met cycling and biking across America. And so at the time we were seeing America from a back road and from a really slow pace. And I think that's really always sort of stuck with us. So it's sort of been this natural progression from like van life to sometimes flying. And now we're overlanding in our rig around the world and taking breaks at home. I'm really not sure where to go with this.
There's a lot. And then in the middle of that, we started filming ourselves and we uploaded one video and it went viral on YouTube.
One video and it went viral. Cool. Yeah. Good job,
guys.
I
wish that on anyone, though.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Going viral is a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. It got over 5 million views. And so we were like, and then all of a sudden we were thrown into this like world of like, hey, where do you use the bathroom in the toilet? How do you do laundry? Where do you travel? How do you sleep? And so we started answering all these questions and we never loved the van for the van. Like, we're just not car people. I mean, we like cars, but we're not car people. We're travel people. And
it's just a tool for us.
So we started like switching it to like, hey, let's just focus on the travel and our experiences in these different places. And that's what we've been doing ever since.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. It's a scary thing to like, I'm just imagining like what I have a glimpse of like what it feels like to just like suddenly get catapulted into having this audience that you didn't really know you didn't actually ask for. It's just, they're there and these people are, they can be nice. They can be mean. It's like, okay, like what do I do with this? I guess I have to keep showing up, you know? But okay. So you started with a van. At what point did you get the truck that you're in now?
Right before we met you, actually. So we got it in summer of 2023. We had one van and then COVID hit and we built out a second one during COVID, sold that because we knew we wanted to do international. And long story short, that was not the rig for it. So we had been looking literally all over the world for the right rig. And this one just happened to come on the market in 2023.
We got kind of lucky.
It's a
1988 Toyota Land Cruiser with this camp. It looks like the snail from...
So the last people we bought it from, they named it Gary, like the snail from SpongeBob, because it's slow and it looks like a snail because it's kind of like awkward shaped. It doesn't look aerodynamic at all, but it's quaint and it's perfect and we love it. Yeah. So that's when the truck came into the picture. And then it still took us, once we bought the truck, it still took us like 6 months to figure out like where we were shipping it, what route we were going to do first. Cause like really the world was sort of our oyster. Like we really wanted to start with Asia, but that logistically was very complicated. And so eventually it ended up being so complicated to ship it that we just said, you know what, screw it. We're just going to start driving. And we left Tennessee and then crossed into Baja in Mexico, like a few weeks later,
which is literally when we met you, like yeah. We were on our way to start the journey. Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just winging it.
Okay. I love that though, because sometimes, I mean, you're, instead of holding on to this idea of a goal that like you thought you wanted this Asia thing, you know, if you're running into roadblocks, if you're finding that it's difficult, like, okay, pivot, like what can we do? How can we make this a success for us? So, I think that's, I love this where when you got your truck or you got yours right around the time that I got mine in summer of 2023 as well.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you guys were driving down to Baja when we crossed paths in Phoenix, met Kramer, your little pup. How is it traveling with him? I mean, like, that's a big question. I know. Cause I know what you guys have gone through with him, but like, is that something you would say, hey, you guys should try this traveling with your dog? Or are you like, oh my God, leave your dog behind?
Oh gosh, that is such a hard question because we get asked that multiple times a week usually. And I would not trade traveling with Kramer for anything. Like he is such a good dog. Like we've had him, we got him like, I guess 6 months before we even heard of van life, which I mean, I guess maybe was poor timing, but he's been the best little travel buddy and he's been so good for us. But it is so much harder to travel with a dog than without. Because like unlike kids, I've never had a kid, so I can't like speak to what that's like. Yeah. But a kid can go into any store with you. Like if it's hot, you don't leave in the car. Yeah. You can take it in. Whereas a dog is not welcome in all places. So like you have to really pay attention to weather. You have to pay attention to, you know, that mostly weather. Weather's the biggest thing.
Yeah. And like, I mean, in traveling in the States, so we did all 50 states and Kramer has never been to Michigan or Hawaii. So those are the only two states that he's missing.
My goodness.
You know, all those states, like traveling in the States is fine with the dog, you know, for the most part. You know, there are some states that are a little bit more lenient than others or vice versa. But then traveling internationally with a dog, that's where Mexico's super easy. But past Mexico, a lot of countries, it's just difficult. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of, you know, making sure that he's allowed, you know, just having all your ducks in a row. It is possible. It's just more of a headache than what it should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People ask us like, I want to do van life or I want to travel on the road somehow. Should I get a dog? Cause a lot of people are thinking, oh, security, I'm traveling solo. But I always tell people like, if you don't already have a dog, I would not just go out and get one because that's not fair to you or the dog. Possibly like figure out if you like it first and then go get the dog. Because I mean, life on the road is very different than what we even imagine. And we love it. Obviously we're still doing it, but it takes so much time and so much planning. Like Chris said, every border of every country is different. And, like, you know, Mexico is really easy. Like you just show the rabies certificate and they let him in, but then you get to somewhere like Belize and you have to have like a week's notice and you have to get all these certain paperwork and forms. And it gets really complicated really fast. Like now that we're done and through it and standing back and looking at Central America, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We've got this. Like we have a grasp on it. But like when you're going through it country by country, it just feels kind of daunting. So
Kramer,
we don't have AC in our truck either, which is another thing. So like we've been, I don't know why we thought going through Central America was a good idea. So
Kramer's thinking the same thing too. He was like,
this.
It could have been anybody. I was born in Seattle. It could have been anybody there. And I got stuck with these guys.
Poor dog. But he loves the beach. And so we pretty much follow good weather. And then like, if it's really hot, we hang out at the beach. And if it's, you know, we're not at the beach. We'll usually go up to the mountains where it's cooler. And thankfully, Central America kind of catered to both of those. For the most part, we were able to find one or the other. So it made it manageable, made it doable. We just dealt with a lot of sand everywhere because he is like a magnet for sand.
He loves the sand. Yeah. And sometimes it does allow us, or like sometimes we're not able to see certain things because we do have him. So even in the States, if we're not able to get a dog sitter, you know, we can't go hike in the national park unless they allow dogs on particular trails or whatever, you know, in that park. But, and even in like internationally in Guatemala, there was a pyramid that we really wanted go to. And they wouldn't even let us into the parking lot with him in the car, even if he like, so you, sometimes you just give up things and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it'd be helpful if you told the listeners what kind of dog he is and how big he is.
So he's a mini golden doodle. He's more poodle than anything. hypoallergenic because I have allergies, but he looks a little bit high maintenance, but he's a really cool, chill dog.
He's got an underbite.
He does have an underbite. Yeah.
So he's always smiling. He's around 25, 30 pounds on a bad day.
Yeah, I'd say mid-20s, but he's right at the perfect size where he can fit under the seat on an airplane, which is really nice. He's within, for most airlines, he's within a couple of pounds for some, but he sits under the chair in front of me when we're flying, and he'll sleep all the way through. He's flown to Korea and Brazil and all these other places. Oh my gosh. He does really well on long haul flights. He's flying to Montana actually with us next week.
That's amazing.
So,
I know.
Yeah. So he's a small size dog. We call him travel size because he's like not a big dog. Like I'm a big dog person usually, but I knew that travel was going to be a part of our lives one day. So we chose to go small, and he just goes everywhere with us.
And sometimes he gets us so cool. Free upgrades. You know, if the air stewardess thinks he's cute, well, they're like, hey, you can sit up here. I'm like, all right, cool.
It's not uncommon for like the flight attendants to come and give us free food or something just to come like hang out with Kramer in the back of the plane or something.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, bonus. He's pulling his weight. Right? He's pulling his weight.
Yeah. He is, Kramer.
That's awesome. Okay. So you, let's talk about how you manage this balance thing. Cause I mean, I've asked you guys questions about like, wait, where do you live? What do you do with your house? Like, what is your situation like? Because you came from Seattle, but you're not there anymore. You are home based in Tennessee. So how did that happen?
COVID. Like with most people, it kind of like turned our lives upside down, but I'm from Tennessee originally, Tennessee, Georgia, and Chris is from Kentucky. So family was always in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID hit, we decided to sell our first van because we couldn't travel, and we took the money from that and decided to buy our first home. And at the time we were in Chattanooga, and we said, okay, let's buy in Chattanooga. It fit us for being an East Coast, especially for the southernness that it is. It's pretty outdoorsy. There's a lot of like federal lands, like a lot of battlefields and stuff like that have great trails for cycling and running. And so we bought a house here in Chattanooga in a little historic neighborhood that we absolutely love. And it's about as close as you can get to Gilmore Girls and Stars Hollow is what we say. Cause it is just like super quirky. Some of the neighbors are just downright weird, but you love them at the same time. but yeah, we have a house. It's a small little bungalow, tiny little 2-bedroom, 1-bath that we just leave sitting. We've rented it out in the past, but generally while we're gone, it's sitting alone.
So if you're listening to this, please don't rob us.
Please don't rob us. No. And,
we did rent it out on Airbnb for a little bit, but we were just having some problems. And it's been nice to be able to have a designated place to fly back home to, especially like traveling the way that we do. Sometimes it can get a little rough in the truck or, you know, like you're just always on the go. Like people think that it's glamorous to be full-time travel. In reality, like, you know, sometimes you just need a break and stay still. And so it is nice to have a place to be like, okay, we can go back home and just chill out for a couple of weeks. And being so close to Atlanta, a major airport, is super helpful with that.
Yeah. And we were lucky that, you know, Chattanooga's affordable enough, or it was at the time, that we could, you know, buy a house and afford the mortgage without having to like stress ourselves out about it. So we decided not to Airbnb it anymore because we just wanted our place to be like our safe place. When we come home, we know everything's in the same place. Like it's clean. Yeah. Like it's exactly how we left it. So that's how we handle it. There's no perfect solution, but that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I actually love that. I think it sounds super ideal. I mean, you essentially have two homes. You just, one of them's on wheels, you know, right. You have your home base, your safe place, and then you also have your vacation home, which you just drive. Which I think is pretty rad. And I love that. I mean, that doesn't work everywhere, but you figured it out, like where financially, you can create that kind of foundation from which to then explore and adventure. And, I love that. I respect you guys so much for that. I think it's so cool. I would love to do that if I could.
Well, we're jealous you're in Montana. We love Bozeman too. So every time we hear you're in Bozeman, I'm like, Bozeman's so expensive. It was definitely not. Not on our list when we were trying to buy a house.
But it's cool. I hear you. I know. Yeah. I mean, I went through a similar, like COVID also turned everything upside down for me. And then when I bought my truck, it was the same exact, or not my truck. I had my truck, but my camper was the same deal that you guys did. I basically traded it for a year of rent. It's like, okay, this is expensive, but you know what? Am I going to invest in this or do I, you know, but I couldn't do both. And so, I totally understand that perspective and that approach. But hey, when it works, it's pretty magical.
It is.
It's pretty magical.
It's totally worth the downsides.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this trip that you guys have done through the on the Pan American Highway down through Baja. I mean, when you went to Baja, I was thinking, oh, I need to have them on so we can just talk about Baja. And now you've already finished Panama. So like, I know we could fill an entire episode just with Baja because I'm so in love with Baja. But I want to know, like, what was your route? How did you feel along the way? Like, I mean, we can break all this stuff down, but I also want to know how many times you came back and forth. Like, like what was the big picture of this? And then we can get into it.
Yeah.
Honestly, we just sort of look at the map every day and decide to drive. And we have a rough idea of how we wanted to go through Central America. I mean, there is the official Pan American Highway, but we didn't even get on that, I don't think, until Guatemala, Guatemala City. We wanted to see Belize, which is not on the Pan American and that kind of thing. So we started in Baja, which we absolutely love to, following the seasons. It was winter and there's nowhere better to spend winter than in Baja. Mm-hmm.
And you have a great fish taco place that you recommended us.
Yes,
and we highly, like, any of your recommendations we will take.
Actually meeting you in Arizona and getting your Baja recommendations right before we went down there, like, we tried several of your recommendations and we know that we can always trust you now. Because, you know, there's some people who, like, they give you recommendations, you're like, you're really cool, but I don't think we see eye to eye on those recommendations. You, like, every time we're like, Jackie gave us this one, we gotta check it out.
Jackie gets it.
Jackie gets it.
I love that. You're talking about the fish taco place that's like in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes,
like the one that's like in that. I know what you're talking about.
You need like
four-wheel
drive to get to.
Right.
So I don't know how you found that, because I couldn't find it on a map either. I was like, I think this is where it's at. It sort of looks like the right place. I don't know. And then it looks like somebody's house. You just drive up to it and they're like, come on in. We got food.
Do I take a left at this fork? Which sandy road do I drive down here? Nothing's marked.
That's half the fun.
The adventure's getting there, right?
But past that, I mean, we started in Baja and drove down Baja, spent some time there, and our schedule was really pretty loose. Like, we didn't really have a set schedule. Like, we work on the road, and besides a few events here and there spread throughout the year, like, we don't have to be home for anything. Like, we can just kind of come and go as we want. We started in Baja in February, and we spoke at a conference in Portland in May, and we had to be home by then. So we ended up flying home in May, but we ended up staying, instead of staying 2 weeks, we ended up staying like 3 months.
Baja took a lot of time because we were enjoying it so much, especially in the truck camper. I mean, it's just, it was so easy. Like, it was just very, very nice. You know, when you travel like that in a truck, you find places like that and you're like, oh, this is awesome. And I understand why people go there in their trucks, you know, in the winter. And then, you know, so we did that for 3 months and then we hopped on a ferry and went over to mainland.
Yeah. So we got to mainland before we flew home in May for the conference, but we left our truck in Mexico City or just outside of it. Came home for a few months and then went back to it. And actually we were really nervous when we went back to it because we weren't sure like what had happened, if anything had happened to it. And it turns out things did happen to it, but we didn't, it took us like a week to figure out that things weren't quite right. Like the water pump wasn't working right, which we knew that immediately. And then some of the power didn't work.
Then the internet wasn't working. And then that same week we had to get a hotel because we had no water and like it was miserably hot.
Oh my gosh, I forgot.
So we got into a hotel and it was one of those hotels, like in Mexico, it wasn't even a nicer hotel. It was okay, but they had valet and the only way to park our truck was through valet. And the valet driver drove our truck and took out a telephone pole.
Oh.
And so that was all like the same week of coming back and finding all the things with the truck were wrong. Yeah. And so that was a little chaotic. And then we went down, once we got our bearings a little bit, we went down to Oaxaca and spent a few weeks there. But then we had like a near-death experience there.
Oh my God. You're just throwing that in like it's.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting here, like staring off, thinking, like, oh my gosh, that was such a dark couple weeks of our lives. Like, it was so beautiful, but also I was so stressed.
Yeah. We haven't been to therapy in a while. And so we're just going to unpack everything right here. It's really what's going to happen. So, so we went down to Oaxaca, did that. And Oaxaca was great. But then we were trying to leave to go south to the Yucatan from Oaxaca. And had just a really bad experience, like something wrong with the truck or something happened to the truck going down a hill on the mountain. And we ended up stranded in Oaxaca for another month there. And so, Yeah. And then we finally fixed it. Yeah.
I think your question was, what does it look like? What's our route and how long we come and go? And we just completely deviated for, you could tell this is like pent up and we need therapy. We're like, Jackie, hear us out. It's been awful. No, it's been beautiful and wonderful. But yeah, we do come back and forth, I guess, to answer your question. Yeah. We did it more often than we thought. I think between the time we crossed the border in Baja to the time we, you know, flew home this week from Panama, I think we came home like 4 times. One of those was just to retrieve a part for the truck because it was going to take it weeks and weeks and weeks to actually arrive in Mexico. So we decided, let's just fly the 2 hours home and get the part and save money and get on our way. So yeah, that's about how long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's over the last year.
Yeah. Yes. Plus. Over a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Over a year. So that's, I mean, that's not that much, really. I mean, I guess if you're considering doing it just straight through, then breaking it up like that is kind of an interesting idea. But it's not like you're, how long do you spend at home when you come home?
It depends. Like last summer, like I said, we were supposed to spend 2 weeks at home. We ended up spending like 3 months at home. Yeah. So that was, it was just like a series of events.
We need a break.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I always hear you in the back of my mind, actually, when you were on our podcast, you said, everything's changeable. And every time I hear that in my head, like Jackie's saying, like, everything's changeable. I'm like, that's the story of our lives. Like, we'll just change our flights again. Thank you, Delta, for having the no change fee.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the no fee change or whatever. So
I mean, we'll come home. I mean, typically I would say a good break for us is probably about a month ish or so at home, because even while we're at home, like we love it, we'll get kind of restless a little bit and we'll want to go somewhere. And especially not having a camper stateside, we're like, oh, if we just have this Prius, what are we going to travel? You know? So
that's not as comfortable for camping.
Yeah.
With all three of you, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't tried that yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to back up a little bit because I have some questions about some of the things you already covered. So we're going to get there eventually. Hey, we're in a snail, right? We're going slow.
That's right. Absolutely.
Right. That's right.
So what does it look like when you leave your truck somewhere? Like you said, you left your truck outside of Mexico City. Where can you leave it? How do you know it's safe? Mm-hmm. And when you came back, like was stuff wrong with it simply because it had been sitting? Like nobody like messed with it, right? Like was it safe? Yeah. Like, what happens? How does that
So nothing, nobody messed with it. It was a super safe place.
A storm went through.
Yeah, but there's an app called iOverlander, and that's where we find all of our, you know it probably. That's where we find like different storage facilities. So you can go on there and like sort out different locations on the map. And so we looked for somewhere that would store a vehicle for longer than, you know, a few days, and ended up being at this dentist office outside Mexico City. And she had like this grassy area, and we're not the only people. Like, she had positive reviews from people all over the world. And we got there and there were like 10 or 15 other rigs. Like, we were probably the only American one. They're usually like these giant, like Unimog
from Germany.
My gosh, they're huge. If you've never seen them, they look like they're legit military looking vehicles.
Yeah.
So there's like this whole little network that people don't know about, but it's really not that hard. You just find somebody nice. They charge you, I think, to leave it for like 3 months in Mexico. I think we paid like $100 or $150, which is,
oh my gosh,
to us was a bargain.
Yeah.
And it was super safe. She had a fence, really nice family. They'd come out and check on us and be like, hey, how are you doing? And obviously other overlanders are passing by regularly. And this is pretty normal for a lot of different places along the Pan American, that you can just, people are opening up their gates and saying, yeah, you can leave it here.
Okay.
The only thing that, like, the things that went wrong with our camper were really because it had sat for a long time. So there was a storm, actually a hurricane came through, and it didn't hit Mexico City directly, obviously, but the winds were pretty intense. And we're assuming that's when like water got into our Starlink that was mounted on top of our rig. And so we had no internet, and they found like moisture in it, and we opened it up, and then the water pump, it was actually the water filter, had gotten so clogged. It had been sitting for so long, and it just like, it was, I ended up blowing fuses, and it was just a mess. Like, it wasn't anything that the people who are watching our camper for us did. It was just like this series of unfortunate events.
Yeah. Before I ask the next question, which is about the near-death experience, let's talk about something really nice that you experienced. Let's go for joy before we go for death.
Let's do that.
At that point, like, tell us something about something beautiful that happened, like up into there, or maybe something that you were learning or feeling or anything.
Do you want to go ahead?
I've talked a lot. You can go.
No, I mean, being from the States, especially going to Mexico, like that is already such a heated like topic, like mm-hmm. in family members, people will be like, be safe. Like you're going to get mugged, blah, 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 all this stuff. And traveling before doing this, I mean, has taught us that is so far from the truth anyway. Like, I mean, obviously be smart and be safe, but most people that we meet, 99% of the people that we meet on the road are so hospitable and nice and welcoming, and they will do anything to help you, just some random stranger. And, you know, in Mexico specifically, I mean, we had some great like instances of just hospitality and just meeting people, whether it's other overlanders, you know, going, because when you meet other people doing the same sort of trip, whether they're from Europe or Africa or Australia, wherever, like you instantly connect. It's like this barrier that doesn't exist anymore. And so we were able to meet so many just beautiful people and have, I never thought in my lifetime I would ever go to the middle of Mexico. Not because it wasn't safe or anything. I just like look at the map and I'm like, I will never go there. Why would I ever mm-hmm. go to Puebla? Like, I don't know why I would go to Cholula. Like, I just don't know why. But we did. And I love that. I love going to these places that I'm like, I never heard of this. And this is amazing.
Yeah. I was going to say something along the same lines of, you know, you're American and you hear all the time like, oh, you had to be careful in Mexico. And like when there's warnings, a lot of times there's like a sliver of truth in it. Like there really are bad places in Mexico, just like there are in the US and every other country. In fact, our worst experiences traveling have been in Canada, which is so weird because you think Canada, like nothing happens in Canada. But we've had a couple of like not great experiences in Canada, but we still love Canada. Yeah. So like, sure. I mean, going into Mexico, like, we were a little bit worried. Like, you know, we stand out. We don't really, the two of us looking the way we do, we don't blend anywhere except for like Scandinavia in the world. So mm-hmm. like we stand out and we didn't really know what to expect, but everybody was just so hospitable and so kind. And we felt so safe. And honestly, we never had a single issue in Mexico. We had one tiny little, like, as soon as we left the airport flying back in after our months at home, we had one cop who was not a cop pull us over and try to like get a bribe from us. But we ended up like getting rid of him in a matter of 2 minutes. And it was easy.
The only reason he pulled us over was because Kramer's head was hanging outside the window. So we were like, hey, this doesn't seem legitimate anyway. So
it was Kramer's fault. But other than that, we didn't have any issues at all in Mexico. And people would just like welcome us in to camp in their yards. And, you know, one piece of advice we actually got from the people we bought our truck from, they had already driven the Pan American a couple times. They said, when there's a language barrier, have physical paper maps on hand and then hold it out to a local and have them point on a map where to go. And we did that a few times and people would tell us like, hey, go to this beach or go to this place. You know, like all these little towns we had never heard of, like Guanajuato, Mexico, never heard of this town, but some locals were like, you've got to go there. It's really beautiful. Like just down the street is San Miguel de Allende, which is supposed to be like really beautiful, but also very, gentrified. Like it's just very taken over by expats and everything. But then like down the street is this other town that still has like this really cool, authentic feel about it. And so like little things like that were these little pleasant surprises that, you know, if we hadn't taken the time to get to know the locals, I don't think we ever would have discovered.
We'll come right back to that. Let's take a moment now to thank our wonderful show sponsors. Osprey is the market leader in technical outdoor, travel, and everyday packs. And I've personally used Osprey packs since 2015. My favorites are the Fairview Trek 50 for multi-day hikes, the Cirrus 24 for day hikes, the Transporter Rolling Duffel 60, which is my trusty check luggage for faraway adventures, and of course, the countless packing cubes I use to organize everything that goes in them. We are proud to support each other on the podcast and beyond. We love getting outside and we want to see more people outdoors. So find out more and join us at osprey.com. Born of Bozeman, Montana, and inspired by the greater Yellowstone ecosystem that surrounds it, Oboz Footwear creates purpose-built hiking footwear designed to strengthen the human-nature connection. In an ever-changing world, hiking clears the mind, taking us to new places, challenging our limits, and connecting us with others. Join Oboz and me in rediscovering every day why we love hiking, how it shows us the way forward and elevates how we live. Find out more at obozfootwear.com/lovehiking, and we'll see you on the trail.
This is the beauty of slow travel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it gives you time to soak it in. Just like to be there, to rest and to just immerse really instead of just flitting through, which I mean, there's a time and place I think for everything. And it's not like one isn't necessarily better than the other, you know, if this is what you get, this is what you get. But, I do think that there's such a beauty to slow travel that if you have the time to actually relax into a situation, the rewards are just exponential and different than just blasting through places. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We're big believers in that. And like, there's places that we didn't necessarily love while traveling through the Pan American, but yeah. I think a lot of that's situational, and I don't think we're not going to go back to them one day. It's just in the moment, it was a...
Yeah, I mean, it's just like in the States. I mean, a great example of that is like the first time we ever went to Miami, Florida, we absolutely hated it. We could not stand it. And then we went back again and for a longer time, and we're like, I love this place. This is cool. Mm-hmm. I kind of understand it now. And so it just takes time. And like that, you have to give yourself time to really... hate a place or love a place.
Yeah, you know? Slow travel, especially like in a rig where you're not making hotel reservations. Like it allows us to just look at the map one day and say, today we're going here. And generally that's how we do it. Sometimes, like I said, there's plans that we've made like way in advance that we have to keep to like a schedule. But generally we can just bop around from place to place. And if something's not resonating with us or we aren't loving it, we can move on. Like sometimes the weather's just too hot. Like we just cannot stay. Like, oh my gosh, Mazatlan, Mexico. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's possible to be on the ocean and not have a breeze, but we somehow managed. And then next door was this restaurant that had mariachi music playing to like midnight. It was honestly, Jackie, like I never want to go back to Mazatlan again, but I know that Mazatlan's a great place because we have friends who absolutely love Mazatlan. Yeah. So like stuff like that, like if it's not working, if you just, the situation's not right, you got to peace out. And then there's other places that you just absolutely fall in love with and you can just stay for longer. Like, I mean, Antigua, Guatemala, we ended up staying there for like 2 weeks. So
me too. Guatemala. I mean, I did like a 3 month, I went from Panama City to Mexico City in 2007, just backpacking. Oh, wow. And I ended up spending an entire month in Guatemala. I was maybe going to be there for a couple of weeks and I just kept not leaving and like going back to Antigua. And like, I mean, by the time I finished, this is so sad. You'll understand now why. I only had 1 week to get from Antigua, like I had to get there to Mexico City to get my flight out. 1 week. Wow. And it was like, well, that's not enough time at all.
No.
Because what I did was then cross over into Mexico and went to, I was in like San Cristobal de las Casas for a couple of days and then went to Oaxaca, Puerto Escondido for almost a week. So I had 24 hours in Mexico City, which is like
not
sacrilege.
Enough.
It's like sacrilege. Yeah. Like it's almost hard to say that out loud. I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, I got there and my mind was blown immediately. And I'm seeing like the street, like there's a street sign where they're like, oh yeah, this is where, you know, Montezuma met Hernan Cortez. And I was like, wait, what? Like this all happened right here. And my history books are like coming to life in my brain as I'm looking at this really old, just historic place. I'm like, okay, I did not do this right. Like I have to come back here.
Well, good news is it's still there. So you can go back if you haven't already.
You know, you guys just brought up something else that I kind of wanted to touch on a little bit too, is like the idea of not liking Mazatlan, for example. I feel like sometimes when we travel, it depends on who we are at the moment, like where we are, where our hearts are, who we're with, as how we're going to, for how we're going to experience a place. You know, I mean, one of the places that I was like, I will never go back to this place. You will never guess what I'm about to say ever. I think in a million years, it's Baja. Where?
You're kidding. You?
Me, Baja. The first time I went to Baja, no. It was like, it felt like a cactus to me. It was just like prickly. Like I just couldn't get comfortable. I didn't like it. But you know, I look back at like the time of life that I was in and like, it's just, there's so many factors, you know, that are happening that maybe we're not even recognizing at the time, you know? And it was 1 year later that I got an opportunity to go back and it was one of my first ever like press trips. So like one of the first times I ever got to travel anywhere for free. And I was like, oh my God, like this is amazing. Except why does it have to be Baja? That was my question. I was like, fine, I will go because it's like, I get to do this thing. And oh my God, like my life changed on that very trip. Like 1 year later, my life completely changed on that trip. And that was Baja.
So
like,
weird?
Which I know, but this is why I think that like even people, like everything deserves like a second chance, you know, or like a, you know, if you don't like even food the first time, like try it again and see if you still don't like it later. You know, like everything can, you change and grow. And so your environment is changing and growing around you too. And the way that you're reacting to it is also changing and growing. And so there's always opportunity for something to improve in like relationally, whether it's with people or places or, you know, ideas even. It's like, we have to give ourselves grace to like, okay, right now this is not working for me. We're going to change it. And you know, we're going to, maybe we'll give it a second chance later on, but I just found that interesting and kind of just wanted to dig into that because I feel like there's merit there, especially in the travel world. It's like, it really matters where you are, who you are at that time, you know, as to how you're going to perceive a situation and experience a situation, which is also why, like you too, you're married, you live together, you do life together, and you can go to a place and have completely different experiences because you're two completely different people. And yet maybe you ate at the same restaurant, you hiked the same trail. Like this is why, as travelers, I like to invite people, like they're watching our stories, right? They're listening to us talk, they're watching our YouTube videos, whatever it is. But it, at the end of the day, like we can only share one thing, and that is our story. If you want to know what this feels like, you have to go and do that yourself and you have to create your own story. It's never going to be the same for you. It can't be the same for even the two of you. Like,
Oh yeah. No, everything you're saying, I'm like, yes, amen, preach. Like,
absolutely.
No, I feel the same way. And yeah, I just, what we always said when we first started is like, we want our videos and our content and our information that we provide, like on blogs and podcasts and YouTube and whatever else. Like we wanted to inspire people to go check it out for themselves. Cause like our experiences are always going to be different than yours. Like we could go the exact same day. And like you said, Chris and I can sit in the exact same restaurant and still have a very different experience. Well, I mean, heck.
Korea was just like that for us.
I was thinking Antigua, Guatemala. We ate at this one restaurant.
Same instance.
And he was fine. And I about died. I thought I was going to die in Antigua because I got such bad
Antigua was amazing. And like, I didn't care. Like she, I mean, but she's, yeah.
I'm still here. But I thought Antigua was trying to kill me. But yeah, no, everybody's experiences are going to be so different. I think that everybody, like there's different places that, for me at least, that are best at different times in life. I don't know if that makes sense, but like one place that kind of always comes back to me, and I don't know why, but the American Midwest. Like I'm talking like Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, like the heart of America. Like nobody vacations in the Midwest, but last summer
the flyover states.
States. Like, but these people in the Midwest are so kind. And we did Ragbri last summer, which is biking across Iowa. And it was, I think, exactly what we needed. We just needed like that slow pace, like have fun, get to know your neighbors, like even if they're five states over. And it was just like, it was exactly what we needed. And I think there's, that's the same for lots of different places. You, you know, different seasons of life, you need to be different places.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're killing it.
Entirely. Yeah. I think that actually really nicely sums up like what I just started talking about. So yeah. Also, I really want to do Ragbri with you guys one day.
Come on,
we have to do it.
Hey, this summer. Like,
you're doing
just
it
go
this
ahead.
Summer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we're flying home from Europe. Oh, I just told where we're going.
Well, I know. Like, now we have to get into the next thing. Yeah. No, I love this, though. Okay, fine. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's stay. Okay, so we were like in Guatemala. We don't have to go like minute by minute through the whole thing. Sure. But was that the near death that you were talking about? Was the food poisoning? Is that what you were talking about?
No.
Are you talking about Kramer? What are you talking about?
Like, no, Jackie, like it was quite an ordeal. Like, I'm surprised. I thought Central America as a whole was trying to kill us because it was just like, we loved it.
Oh, no.
And we were just like, no, Central America. Like, we're going to love you whether or not you want us to or not. Like, we're going to be here.
Oh, my goodness.
Oaxaca, actually.
So
Oaxaca, if you don't know, is very mountainous. And we made it to Oaxaca just fine. But then we got to Oaxaca and the fuel injection pump, there's like this little piece that, you know, the easiest way to say is like, it wasn't pressurizing right. And so like
a hole had burst
this thing. And so the engine, instead of like stalling itself, cause it's a manual, it would just like keep going and going. So as we were in first gear, we would just stay in first gear. But if we went up to like fourth gear, it wouldn't want to go back down. So it'd still have the same power it was pushing in fourth gear. And so like, I say all this to say, like, we didn't realize this was happening until we started driving up the mountains and out of Oaxaca. And suddenly our truck is not braking itself. And on top of that, we had just had the truck service and new brake pads put on. And we didn't know, but there was air in the line. So our truck was not braking with the brake pedal because there was air. I was like having to stomp it several times. You know, it's like 15 degree hills at least going down these steep mountains in the pouring rain.
And the engine is running as fast as it can instead of braking because, you know, you can engine brake when you go down a hill when you have a manual. And so it's not braking either by the pedals or by the engine.
And I was the it was awful. It was like I don't cry behind the wheel. Like, usually I'm pretty chill. Like, I can handle it, like, keep calm. But I stopped finally.
We stopped, and then it's starting to rain. We're in the middle of nowhere. There's literally just Mother Mary at this little, like,
roadside
temple altar. Sort of thing.
Altar, yeah, that's the word.
Altar, yeah. Yep. And then we thankfully had service, like, just a little cell phone service. And I called a tow truck in Oaxaca, and it took about 2 hours for them to get out to us, and they towed us all the way back to Oaxaca.
Which, thankfully, it's Mexico, and so it wasn't like the kind of bill you'd get in the States for towing you hours and hours at night. Right. But
yeah,
it was terrifying. I cried, like, genuine fear. Mm-hmm. And like, even still, sometimes if we're going down a steep hill, like, I trust our truck wholeheartedly. Like, it's a great truck. But I just like get those flashbacks, and I'm just like gripping the wheel, and like my pulse starts racing, and like it just, oh my goodness.
And we sound so cool right now.
No. I like we absolutely loved the experience driving through Central America, but man, like there are some experiences that we had there that like it was hard. That's the best way of saying like, it was really hard, but you know what? Those are the ones we remember the best. Mm-hmm. Like, we're big believers in like, you have to do hard things, even scary things, because those are the memories that stick with you the best. It may not be the most fun, but in hindsight, you're like, wow, like I vividly remember that day in Oaxaca. Whereas like, you know, the happy days in Oaxaca are a little bit blurry. Like, oh yeah, I vaguely remember walking past that church and it was really pretty. But yeah, the day we almost died, I remember like minute by minute.
Oh my goodness. You're traumatized. You still remember that minute by minute, unfortunately.
Her eyes twitching right now. She's I know.
Poor thing. My goodness. But it's interesting to note too, that the only issues that you had were mechanical, like in all of Mexico, or I guess, well, so far we're only in Mexico, but the only issues you've had are mechanical, having to do with your vehicle.
Yeah.
Not we really always, with people or anything.
No. Met the kindest people. Like, I mean, honestly, like it was just like this whole, even when the truck broke in Oaxaca, like this awesome campground that's in Oaxaca or just outside of it, like is right next to this diesel mechanic school. So not only do we have like students anxious to learn how to fix a diesel engine and to help us for a great rate, but they actually let us camp in their gated parking lot at this mechanic school. Like all these like little things happen where people just, they actually pushed us back at one point from the mechanic school back to the campground. It was like a kilometer and a half. And they had an entire class of mechanic students, like 15 students out there pushing our truck down the road. And they thought nothing of it. They were like, have a nice day.
And
nobody would do that in the US, I don't think.
No. Yeah. And so it was, I mean, it was like, we have stories like that all the time. And honestly, like it was, just mechanical.
Yeah.
Was,
and we're jokingly saying like, oh yeah, Guatemala tried to kill me. It wasn't Guatemala. It was just bad food poisoning. It's never been the people. It's just been, you know, right situational.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love this. Okay. So I'm looking at the clock and just like, do we have to break this into two parts? Like, what do we do? Because there's like so much more still that I want to talk about with you guys. How about this? You're changing directions. You decided to change something in your plan. Everything is changeable and you're completely, completely changing directions now. I know we haven't gone all the way through Central America, but like, how did you make that decision? What happened and where are you going now next? Wait, hold on. I have another question. Was your original idea to go all the way to Argentina?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The original plan was to drive from the US because we had already, in years past, we had driven to Alaska. And so we had done,
that part of the
Pan Am. So we're like, let's go to Argentina. And so originally we were going to ship to Argentina and then drive home. Like that's what we wanted to do.
Wanted to go south to north. Yeah.
And so, but we started driving and now we're heading south. And then by the time that we got to Panama, we started reaching out. So there's a thing called the Darien Gap in Panama to Columbia. It's about 70 kilometers.
Something. It's relatively small.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
They have it marked as a national park on Google Maps, and I'm here to tell you it's not a national park to visit. If you're listening, don't go visit the Darien Gap. There's no roads. It's not very safe. You have to, to ship around it.
You have to ship around. And so we started getting shipping quotes for our truck because that's the only way to get it there. And our truck is too tall to fit into a container. Because normally you could drive a car into the container and then ship it that way. So ours has to go on the truck or the boat via row, roll on, roll off. So they drive it on top of the boat. And we started getting these quotes back, and the quote was crazy expensive. Just for that short amount of time, it was going like thousands and thousands of dollars. And
I think we got $5,500 was the quote we got from Panama to Columbia. Yeah.
$5,500.
Yeah, that was the quote. And I'm sure if we shopped around, we could have gotten it a little bit cheaper, but like no matter what, the price was like crazy high.
Crazy, and
by this point, like we had loved Central America, but like if we're being honest, we were burned out because there have been some really hard instances, both personally, like back home, like, you know, with friends and family, like we were, it just been a lot emotionally. And then like, you know, culturally, it's been hot for Kramer. And, you know, I think we were just kind of ready for a change of pace. And I just randomly requested a quote for like, what would this look like if we shipped to Europe, like, or Africa or something. But I requested to, you know, continental Europe, like mainland, and then also to the UK. Mm-hmm. And the quote came back at $2,500. And so we looked at it and we're like, why are we paying $55? It would be cheaper for us to go from Panama to the UK, experience Europe for as long as we want, and then ship from Europe down to Argentina. It would be cheaper to do that. So we're going to Europe. We just
Yes. You know,
I feel like I'm quitting the Pan Am, and I want people who are listening to know, like, we have genuinely loved it. And I could talk about it all day long because it was just, has been such a great experience. But I think going somewhere like Europe is going to be a total change of pace, total change of environment. I mean, just different scenery. And then we're going to go back and be ready to experience more of Latin America. Because right now we're both kind of like, culturally, I feel like we're taking it for granted a little bit. We had at the end where it's just like the differences and the different cultures kind of started blending together. They weren't as noticeable to us because I think we were just mentally checking out a little bit. And I'm excited to go to Europe, do something different, and then be able to go back and experience that new again. So that's what we're up to. There's no short answer for us, Jackie.
Yeah. But this is why we're here, and this is why we're going to be back again with part two and three and five and all that. What is your plan for Europe?
Yeah.
I mean, so, I know it's kind of a plan, but like, yeah. What's in your mind?
Yeah. So, like I said, everything is always moving. Europe is going to force us to keep somewhat of a schedule though, because we're going to be like bouncing with visas and everything. So the visa for us as people versus like our car, the temporary import permit, they differ a little bit, but what it'll boil down to is we have to be somewhere different every 3 months. So it'll be between like, you know, the UK, Ireland, the EU, and then even like Morocco and then Eastern Europe. So like there's all these little places that we can kind of like avoid the visa issues if we need to wait. Like you have to be, for most places, it's like every 6 months, you can only be there for 3 months. And so you have to like wait it out. So you can be there for 3 months and then be gone for 3 months and then be back for 3 months. So we'll be hopping around. We have to be really careful about how long we're in each place, because we have to make sure like, oh, we're in Eastern Europe, we've got to get to Morocco, that we have enough days on our visas to drive through continental Europe. So
I feel like you're that guy from Always Sunny with the red lines and everything, like patching everything together. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. So that's sort of like the rough plan, but we're starting in England. Neither of us have been to England, and then we're planning on spending a lot of our summer up in Scotland, and then we'll go from there. Yeah. That's about as far as we've gotten.
we really want to do Oktoberfest in Germany.
Yeah. Oktoberfest.
So,
which is going to time out about like right with our visa. So when we leave the UK, we'll go over to the EU.
Perfect. Well, I can help you with Oktoberfest if you want.
Come over.
My jam.
Yeah. Come on over.
Oktoberfest is my jam. you know, you need to meet Gemma and do you know Highlands to Hammocks? They are so cute. They're a Scottish couple. And I met them in Vegas last year at the conference we just spoke at. I'll introduce you guys because they're van lifers up in Scotland, and you guys have to just connect with them. Yeah.
Oh, please. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Well, you know, like I know we have people in our audience who are from the UK, but I don't personally know anybody over there. So like any connections, like that's like one of the hardest things about traveling is not having friends on the road. Like it gets kind of lonely.
And we haven't told our audience what we're doing yet because in the past we've said things and then it just doesn't happen. Like mm-hmm. you have to cancel or whatever. And so we were like, no, we're not going to say anything until it's on the boat. And literally it's in the middle of the Caribbean right now. So we can finally say something.
We're so excited. Cool. We can actually say something now.
How excited. That was today.
Yeah. It left today.
It left today.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. How exciting. Yeah. And how long is it going to take to get there?
It should be there sometime between like May 5th and May 10th. So about a month, just under
a month. And you guys are going to arrive shortly after.
Yeah. We're scheduled to get there May 5th right now. So we'll see. Like we said, everything's changeable, mm-hmm. so we can change our plane tickets if we need to, but we're going to be there waiting.
Nice. Okay. Great. Oh, how exciting. So if somebody out there was just thinking, oh, I'm in the UK or whatever, come see me. How do they find you? How do they find you guys?
We are on YouTube and Instagram. Where else are we?
We're everywhere.
We're pretty much just Chris and Sarah. Sarah with no H.
Yeah, chrisandsarah.com. Sarah with no H on YouTube. It's Chris and Sarah.
Yeah, the website's probably the easiest place to find everything. Yeah. All the links, different socials and stuff. But yeah, chrisandsarah.com.
Yeah.
And please reach out. And if you're in the UK and you have suggestions or something, please. I'd say the Instagram inbox is probably the best place you're going to find me. Like that's the best way to get in touch with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make sure those links are also in the show notes. I feel like we might be at a good place to pause this conversation because, and then maybe we'll reconnect in a little bit because I would love to continue on with your story and to learn more about, you know, what you guys have going in Europe. Do you have any lasting thoughts for now on closing part one of Central America?
Oh my gosh.
You know,
I'm still processing Central America.
Yeah. I think for Central America, like it is so, it's so very similar, but so very different at the same time. And it was really beautiful to like drive through it and see the really bad and really like really good parts of it. And everything was really good. I mean, let me say that again. Everything everything for the most part was really good and beautiful. And like the people, like I cannot get over how nice and hospitable the people were in Central America.
And I left feeling like I want to come back to all these places again. There's like one country that I feel like I've done everything there, but I would also still go back to. Like there's not one place I would never return to. In fact, I already have a list kind of in my mind of places that we missed, that we didn't get to see everything. It's impossible mm-hmm. to see everything. That like Central America was just so amazing that I want to go back again and again. I can tell.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So we may
go ahead.
Let's do like a little lightning thing real quick, just to wrap it up and give some lasting Central America things. Cause I've been through, obviously I didn't see everything either, but I have been there through Central America. And so I wonder like, what was your favorite thing that you ate? Mm.
I liked the rice and beans in Belize. And I know that sounds boring, but I loved it with the coconut milk in it. It was just, I think coming off of Mexico, and I love Mexican food, I do, but everything is very meat heavy. And I was ready for a change of pace. And then we got to Belize and it was like fresh fruit and it was beans and rice. And I was just so excited. And I still remember eating the beans and rice with the coconut milk in it.
The fish tacos in Baja.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And anything like, anything passion fruit. Like once we got to Costa Rica, I was like passion fruit smoothie this, passion fruit that. Like I love the passion fruit now. So
The fresh agua fresca there, the maracuya. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So good.
I love the food in Costa Rica too. I mean, I lived there for a year, so I'm kind of biased, but wow. Yeah. I did not get tired of it.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your favorite mountain experience?
Oh.
Did you hike a volcano?
You know what? Well, we did. We did Cerro Negro in Nicaragua.
Yeah, we sledded down a live volcano. Yeah.
And that was really fun. We didn't get a hike like Fuego or any of that kind of stuff in Guatemala because mm-hmm. they weren't going off when we were there, weirdly. It was like this mm-hmm. weird like month where it just decided to be completely dormant. So we didn't
Go back.
We didn't do that. Yeah. But our last night in Guatemala, we actually camped on this. I was in one of those eye overlander spots. I don't really remember how I found it, but I was just, you know, looking on the map, I guess, and found this like person's backyard farm. And so we're camped in this field with horses and cows around us, but there were four active volcanoes, just like 1, 2, 3, 4 in front of us. And it was just the most amazing view. And we had the whole place to ourselves. And so I think that might be my favorite like mountain experience because we were like tucked up there behind one with like this view of like four incredible volcanoes in front of us.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite beach experience?
Nicaragua.
Yeah. Nicaragua had the best, quietest, cleanest beach we've been to.
Not a single piece of trash and like,
or person.
Yeah. We had the entire place to ourselves, like the most perfect white sand. It had like rocks you could go and like climb all over on the side. And it was kind of like tucked away in this little cove. Yeah. And it was like exactly what you think of when you think of tropical paradise. It was like a Microsoft screensaver.
I got stung by a jellyfish.
He did get stung by a jellyfish. But other than that, it was really great. It was absolutely gorgeous. Great.
Sorry about the jellyfish.
He survived. Been there.
It was fine. It gave me a cool story to talk about. I got stung. I'm like, yeah.
Okay. And then one piece of advice for anybody that may want to drive the Pan Am through Central America.
Be patient.
Be patient. Yeah. I'd say do your research and keep track of everything. Like get a notebook, keep copies of everything. And like, yeah, mind like cross your T's and dot your I's. Like be very careful about all that.
Yeah. And the way you do it is fine the way you do it. Yeah. Because you will meet people who they will do the entire Pan Am in like a month or 2 months. You know, I mean, they will just drive it and haul it. And then you meet other people who they've spent 5 years in Mexico on the Pan Am, you know? So it's just...
There's no right or wrong way.
No right or wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And everything is changeable and you can always stop and change a plan and decide to go to Europe in the middle of the Pan Am.
You know what? Why not?
I love it. That's cool. It's cool that you had the thought to even just look at that. And now that's what you guys are doing. How fun.
We're a wreck. Really what it means.
No, it's just like, you know, sometimes you have to be an opportunist. And I mean, if there's something that's like, you know, that's $5,500 that's a lot of money. That's definitely something that's like, wait, are we even supposed to be doing this? Like, that's how I would read the situation is like, maybe there's something else for me here, you know, because this feels like kind of a brick wall. Like, and when there's a brick wall, that means don't go forward. You know, it's like, okay, you got to turn here, but we have to figure out which direction this is. And for you, it's just across the ocean. So I've been there. I've done it. Yeah. I mean, I've had run into massive issues before that have sent me in directions I could never have anticipated ever.
Yep.
So you just don't know, but by staying flexible and understanding that like, okay, you have your wits about you, you are resourceful, like you're going to figure this out. Everything's going to be fine. And even if you said once upon a time to your audience, maybe you said something out loud, oh, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. Changing that does not mean failing. It just means changing it. You know, like this is your life. Right. This is your world. These are your options. These are your choices. This is the way you want to spend your day and you're listening to yourselves and your hearts and what's happening. And, you know, and it's taking you in this other direction, which is going to be so freaking cool. I'm so excited. Yeah. And you're bringing your bikes to Europe. Right.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I haven't done a lot of research about like, where are we camping? How are we getting our truck from one place to the next? But I have done a lot of research on what bike routes I want to bike in Scotland this summer. So my priorities are very much in like right on.
I think so. I would have to agree with you. I just like, can I come? I just want to like come with you guys.
Please.
All of your adventures sound so cool.
Come on, bring the bike, bring the truck. Come on over. We'll help you with the paperwork. We'll get you over there.
You'll end up either loving us or hating us by the end of the trip, but it'll be beautiful no matter what.
It will be beautiful no matter what. Just like Central America, right?
Right.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys so much for your time and sharing your story with us. And we're going to be all excited to follow along as you take the next step in your journey. So yeah,
thanks.
Best of luck. And we'll have to cross paths again somewhere, maybe in Europe this summer. I don't know. We'll see.
Please.
It's going to happen.
For sure.
Oh, maybe Montana next weekend.
Let's make that happen instead.
That sounds good.
Okay.
All right, you guys. Talk to you
soon. Thanks, Jackie.